Hey, good morning and shalom. We're here looking at how we can overcome the spirit of guilt by the power of the Holy Spirit. This is the only way we can be able to overcome the spirit of guilt by the power of the Holy Spirit. We have seen how guilt can destroy our productivity in this life. We have seen how guilty people are afraid of punishment and they cannot serve God with all their hearts. They cannot be able to do any ministry. They cannot be able to maximize their potential. He said guilt is the feeling that you have wronged an authority and you are afraid of the judgment, you're afraid of condemnation, you're afraid of the consequences, and you're afraid that you'll be called upon to account. And every time you go, you see an authority, you hear an authority, even when they're not coming for you, you're afraid. Some people who are a praise and worship leader at the middle of their leading, when the enemy reminds them of the evils they did some years ago, they are guilty. And what the Lord wants us to have is the joy of the Lord, to change guilt for the joy of the Lord, for the joy of service. Paul says you can either change the law or you can change your heart. That was Romans 7. In Romans 8, we are getting to see how our help come from the Lord. Earlier on, we said that people can go for help to different places, sometimes to wrong places. Sometimes they go to areas where God does not want them to go for the help, to the I mean from the dark world. Some people can use self-help. Some people can go to get help from the Godfathers, but people who understand the scriptures go to God the Father. And God the Father in Romans 8 gives us what he says. I want to picture yourself running away because of guilt. I want to picture somebody who is not able to come in the presence of his father, at the table of his father, because of the fear. And after you picture that, and you're afraid that your father or the authority is going to literally punish you because of what you have done. But at the same time, I want you to picture your father at the table tells you there is therefore no condemnation for you who belongs to me. What a joy it is. What a joy. Paul in 7 was crying, I'm a wretched person. Who will save me? But therefore, a declaration comes and said, there is therefore no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. I think this is one of the most critical statements that we want to hear at any one time. There's no condemnation to us who are in Christ Jesus. Why? Because you belong to Him. The power of the living Spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. You see, we were to deal with the law, we were to deal with sin, and we are to deal with the sinful nature. Three things that we are going to help dealing. But look at how God fulfilled all of them to make us not to be condemned again. He says, number one, the power of the Holy Spirit has freed us from the power of sin. Sin has power. Remember, we were saved from the guilt of sin, or from the penalty of sin. There's a penalty of sin that is called justification, that Jesus did it long time. That's how we were included to become back to the table. That's how we were accommodated because of the work he had done. But the power of sin has continued to plague us, has continued to destroy us, has continued to take our joy. And so here, the Spirit of God has freed us from the power of sin that leads to death. That means we will never die. Why? It is sin that leads us to die. But the power of sin has been destroyed by the power of the Holy Spirit. Isn't that good? That the power of the living Spirit has freed us from the power of sin. We must really open ourselves to the Spirit of truth in our lives. We have to allow the Spirit of God to be in our hearts so that our minds will be freed from the power of guilt or the power of sin. Look, that's number one. So sin has been dealt with. The power of sin is dealt with by the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Number two, the law of Moses was unable to save us because of the weakness of our sinful nature. So God did what the law could not do. He sent his own son in a body like the bodies of sinners have. And in that body, God declared the end of sin's control over our lives by giving his son as a sacrifice for us. So number two, the second problem we're having is not only the power of sin, but the power of the sinful nature. The sinful nature. But here he says, God sent Jesus, his own son. The law could not remove us from this sinful nature. The law only opened to us and gave us ability to see how sinful we are. But the law did not have the ability to take us from the power of sin. And so we are left wretched. We are left crying. But now God gave Jesus as a substitute. He came as a sacrifice. He was given to us. What the law could not do, Jesus did it. The law was able to show us the sin, that's okay, but could not deliver us from sin and sinful nature. So Jesus came to finish, to fulfill the two. He destroyed the power of sin. Now, he also destroyed the power of sinful nature. He took that. That's what he's saying. But he did that by taking the body, coming by the body himself. So He gave his own body so that the power of sin would stick him. The Bible says that the sting of death, like a bee have got a sting. And a sting, once it sting one body, it cannot sting another one. You look at the bee. When the bee sting one person, it has no power to sting another. So death had only one sting. And the sting was sin. So that one, Jesus came and gave his own body. That's what he did. He sent his own son in a body like the bodies we sinners have. And in that body, God declared an end of sinful or sin's control over us by giving his son a sacrifice for us. So death sting Jesus. Jesus died. And because he died, death has no power over our lives again. So our sinful nature, the power of sin, the power of the sinful nature has been broken by Jesus Christ's death. But number three, we have now the law. He did this so that, that's verse four, so that the just requirement of the law would be fully satisfied for us who no longer follow our sinful nature, but instead follow the Spirit. You see, Jesus came and fulfilled the demands, the just requirements of the law. He did not remove the law. He fulfilled the law. You cannot remove the law. When the law says you are sin, it is true, the law cannot lie. But what Jesus did is that he came and said, the law demanded that every soul that sinneth must die. So Jesus, God came in the body, Emmanuel, and he says, "Here I come." And he gave himself to death and he died. He fulfilled what the law needed. So the law cannot judge twice. In every law, if you're taken to the judge and you're declared as that you have you're convicted and you serve the sentence, you cannot serve a second sentence because that one is finished. And that is what the Lord has done. So we need the Holy Spirit to be able to do that, to be able to live in us. So those who are dominated by sinful nature think about sinful things, but those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death, but letting the Spirit control your mind leads to the peace, or to peace. For the sinful nature is always hostile to God. It never did obey God's law, and it will never. That's why those who are still under control of their sinful nature cannot please God. But you are not controlled by your sinful nature. You are controlled by the Spirit if you have the Spirit of God living in you. And remember that those who do not have the Spirit of Christ living in them do not belong to God at all. And Christ lives within us. So even though your body will die because of sin, the Spirit gives you life because you have been made right with God. The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And just as God raised Jesus from the dead, Jesus from the dead, he will give life to mortal bodies by the same Spirit living within us. So this is the benefit of having the Holy Spirit living in us. So we thank you, Holy Spirit. We want to welcome you into our lives. You are given permission. You come and be the governor of our lives. We struggle with all manner of confusion. It is you who declare that we are no longer condemned, and we believe we're not condemned. God, I want you to help us. Some of us who are struggling with the spirit of guilt at your table, Father, let that word, no condemnation, linger in their mind. And I thank you because there's no condemnation to us who are in Christ Jesus. Amen.